You ready to go on the audio?
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that it stayed up.
Good evening. It is 6 o'clock. So since we are like to start things on time, and we do have a quorum present, we have four of us as board members. And we have our student representative, and the superintendent is joining us on Zoom. I will call the meeting to order, and the public announcement that as I said, we do have the presence of a quorum, and the meeting has been duly called, and the notice of the meeting has been posted for the time and the manner required by law. This meeting is being audio recorded and will appear on the internet at hdsd.org. We also have the OWL on our new YouTube site, and the address is on the agenda and online. It's youtube.com/HillsboroughDeering School Board, and the exact link is on the top of the agenda. So please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And join me in a moment of silence, please. And school board members, I just want to direct you to our school board norms, which are in our packet. The copy that's in the minutes is on the third or fourth page, but there's another copy for this meeting. And just reminding us to assume good intentions, being present and prepared, and communicating effectively puts us in a good place to conduct business of the board this evening. Anyone have any questions on those? And for recognitions, do we have any recognitions this evening?
We do have some recognitions this evening. And I appreciate everybody's indulgence with having me join you by Zoom this evening. Not quite at the appear in person level, but things are progressing in the proper direction. So I hope to see you all in person soon. So I do have some recognitions. I'll start with the student recognitions. Ayanna Duvall, she is a second grade student who has already this year been an amazing example of showing the CARES, and remember that's the acronym that they use at the elementary school for cooperation, assertion, responsibility, empathy, and self-control as she interacts with her fellow students. The middle school would like to recognize Ava McDonough and Ari Bowen and Dakota Mercier for doing a great job of leading the Pledge of Allegiance over the PA each morning so far this year. And in other recognitions, first and foremost, I want to recognize and just publicly thank again the Hillsborough Police Department and all of the supporting agencies and departments. We are deeply grateful for their efforts this past week keeping the entire community safe. It was a difficult 24-hour period, or almost not quite 24-hour period for everyone involved, and they were outstanding as always. Chief Parsons does a fantastic job of making sure that he's communicating with me whenever there are issues where we need to cooperate like that, and we are deeply grateful. Additionally, we would also, the Hillsborough Deering Food and Nutrition Program would like to thank two separate anonymous donors who have each contributed a relatively substantial donations toward assisting households with negative school nutrition program balances. So we have a donation of $500 and a second donation of $1,600, which is incredibly generous and very, very helpful. So appreciate that. And then faculty and staff recognitions from their colleagues, Amanda Conley, who is with us here at the middle school. She's being recognized because she is patient and kind to all students. She is flexible and willing to listen and always talk through solutions for all students so that they can have the best learning experience. We're so lucky to have her as a teacher, colleague, and friend. Thank you, Amanda, for all that you do. I don't think I said at the beginning, she's a special educator at the middle school. Michelle Sump, here at the elementary school. She is one of our newest members in the preschool program. And she is the special educator for the preschool program. She jumped right in to our preschool program, learning the kids and routines to help them succeed, looking forward to the rest of the year. Crystal Murdo, who has been with us for a number of years, but just this year transferred to the preschool program. Excited to have Crystal as one of the preschool teachers. She's jumped right into the role with a positive attitude and ideas on how to make this year a great one for the kids. And then Megan Willett, who transitioned from special educator to preschool teacher mid-year last year. Which we were really grateful that she took on that challenge, and so grateful Megan took the role of preschool teacher on. Her positive attitude and love for the job makes it not only enjoyable for all of our students, but it has been great to work with her. Looking forward to a great year ahead. And that is what I have for recognitions.
Cool. Thank you for sharing that. That's good. Thank you for being with us. Glad that you're able to participate in the meeting once again. Look forward to having you back as you continue on your recovery.
And thank you. My camera might go off and on a couple of times during the meeting, but I will be present the whole time.
Understandable. And thank you. And thank you for everyone else for what you do day in and day out for the district, teachers and staff and administrators. And thank you again, as the superintendent mentioned, for everyone's help with Friday, getting us through the tough times, and the chief of police and all those agencies that supported us. Do we have any correspondence this evening?
Not that I am aware of.
All right. And so moving into the next part of the agenda, public comment, limited to 5 minutes per person. Can I wait just a tad? Is it related to public comment, Mike?
Public comment.
Okay. So I'll read the statement, and then if there's no one else from the public, if you wanted to switch hats and speak, you may. This is an opportunity for members of the public to share an idea or concern with the board. Comments are limited to 5 minutes per person, please. It's not the practice of the board to immediately respond to comments made. Are there any members of the public that wish to speak this evening? Is it going once, twice, three times? And is it something that is not a board discussion that you wanted to address real quick during public comment, Mike?
Now I just want to give a quick shout out to Hillsborough PD.
Awesome.
They caught the guy a couple of houses up from me and Paul. And we knew something was going on because all the cruisers were going up and down Bible Hill with all the helicopters and everything. And I sat by my wonderful computer with a rubber band.
Yeah. As I said, after that event, after Friday afternoon, I think everyone felt a lot safer and slept better.
Yeah, COVID was a lockdown. This is a little bit different.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, quite a bit different. Thank you for sharing that. That being said, we'll leave public comment open for the duration of the meeting. And moving into the consent agenda, I do want to pull the minutes because there's a couple of things that I want to correct. Is there anything else that we'd like to pull, or is there a motion to approve the rest of the remaining parts of the consent agenda? There's a couple of facilities. There's a facilities field trip approval for the middle school policies and then appointments, leaves, and resignations.
I can move to approve the consent agenda.
So Mike makes that motion to approve. Paul, did you have a comment, or are you making a second?
I'd like to make a comment on the authorized chair to sign a MOU.
Oh, okay. On the minutes. I pulled the minutes so we can discuss that in a minute once we finish.
Okay.
Did you want to make a second for God bless you? You want a second to approve the remaining items?
Yes.
Minus the minutes. And no further discussion since it's the consent agenda. All those in favor?
Aye.
No opposed, no abstentions. So we are 4-0-0. And so consent agenda passes. we can actually jump into the minutes right now if you would like before we'll give Ben a few minutes of rest here. I actually go ahead with your change because I think I had the same one.
I thought under authorize the chair to sign MOU, I was thinking the vote was 3-1-0. Three yeses, one no. One
it's three. Actually three. She did abstain, so it is 3-0-1. But that my correction was she did not oppose it. She abstained.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. Brittany, did you get that? So it's under action items, third bullet item down. And let me know if you're good. We can move on. I think that was the only change on that line. I did have under the bullet item under each public comment under L and under under six, yeah, where it says Bober moved to leave public comment. I just wanted to take that word moved out and put stated, only because moved can be confused with a motion, and there was no board vote. It was we're just moving on. We just leave public comment open. And then on the second public comment, we left it open for the remainder of the meeting because the meeting was a little bit quicker than usual last time around. So if we could make those two changes. And then was there anything else that anyone else noticed in the minutes that needed a correction? And I do want to thank Brittany for cleaning up. She did clean up some spelling errors that were in the first draft, since those don't necessarily need to be gone through. So that's why we had a revision in front of us. And so with all that said, is there a motion to approve the minutes as amended with changes?
I'll make that motion.
All right.
Second.
And so Stacy makes the motion, Paul seconds, and all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? So we will have 4-0-0. So consent agenda's done. The minutes are done. Moving into, we've got Ben Perrin is joining us. He's not playing soccer this evening. So thank you for being able to join us on your off time. With the student representative's report of what's happening in all the buildings. Actually, if you can speak into it, because it does help with the audio. That's why it helps the owl pick up the owl, and it helps the audio. You can hold it right in front, not too close.
All right, I'm just letting it start now. Hello.
There we go. Yeah, we got you. Thank you.
Awesome. All right, school board meeting. Hey, everyone. Sorry, I'm a little nervous.
You did great.
Hillsborough Deering Elementary School. The open house went amazing on August 28th. Teachers and staff participated in Professional Development Day, September 10th, and they focused on a new reading curriculum called Benchmark Advanced. They hosted the annual Title I meeting, September 12th. Great turnout through the PTA. September 17th, Picture Day in the elementary school, middle school. After school clubs start September 23rd. First games of the season start today, boys and girls soccer. Middle school and high school both finished their IXL diagnostics. Moving to the high school, boys and girls soccer against Manchester West tomorrow. I believe girls are home and boys are away. Senior fundraiser idea, we had to sell pieces of the gym floor or the old gym floor. And we'll try and find some pictures, if not, make a plaque with it and sell them to people who would like a piece of the gym floor.
Mementos.
homecoming weekend will be on October 4th and 5th. Friday, October 4th, cross-country meet and volleyball matches. Saturday 5th, soccer against... soccer games starting at 9 a.m. with a football game starting at 1. Golf team placed fourth in their last meet today in Canterbury. That's all I have.
And our football game for homecoming weekend is here, right? Or actually, there's one this weekend here.
Yes, it is. Actually, we do have one this weekend too.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. And I know DECA is up and running too, I'm sure, as well.
Yes, it is. We have meetings every Tuesday.
Cool. And lots of other great things happening within the district. Thank you for the update. Thank you for bringing that to us. That brings us up to the superintendent's report. If you're ready to share with us.
Yep. So Ben kind of gave the overview. Nice work there. Opening of school has gone smoothly. The PD day that we had on September 10th was because it was the state primary day. So we were holding elections at the middle school. And the logistics of that, having the PD happening in the other two buildings and the middle school reserved for voting, went pretty well. And but the majority of my report tonight, I'm actually going to cede some time to both Jenny, who has a couple of updates for you on some things, and then Becky, who is going to present the business manager's report. So we'll start with Jenny whenever you're ready.
So just give me a second so I can
readjust.
I need to move Jen to the corner. Sorry, Jen. Report I'm going to give is about our programmatic consolidated review, which is a review of all of our grants. And so this year, last school year, we were notified that we needed to do a review of all of our grants. And this includes about 45 different indicators. And they want evidence for all of these different indicators. So they give us a list of all of the indicators and examples of samples or evidence that might align with those indicators. And then what I did was put it all together, and they do what they call a desk audit. So they don't actually come in, but they go through all of the items and check to see if they meet the standards that they are expecting. It was for the grant year of the 22-23 grant year. So it was focused only on that year. And included all of the grants that I have listed. I'm not going to read them all, but all of the federal grants that we received. And most of our federal grants in the past are financial part of things were covered under policy DAF, or Administration of Federal Grant Funds. Some of that has changed a little bit. Okay, why is that doing that? Hold on. Some of that has changed a little bit, which is why there were some indicators that they wanted a little bit more information on and asked us to make some changes to. So, let's see if I can move this out of the way. So we had six indicators that we needed to make some changes for, and I'm going to kind of go through and just give you a quick overview of what those indicators were and then how we remedied those situations, right? So equitable services, they wanted us to create and document some sort of policy or procedure determining how services for non-public schools and teachers were provided. So on the blue, you can see on the side, we have a procedure, right? We didn't need to make new policy, we have policy. We have a procedure that helps us with our equitable services for non-public schools, as well as a process for determining that. We don't actually have any non-public schools right now that take any of our federal funds. We only have the Hillsborough Christian School in Hillsborough Dearing, and they elect not to take the funds. So we don't actually have anybody that's taking this money right now, but we have to have the procedures in place in case a new school were to start. So you're going to notice that it's kind of the same, right? So equitable services one was one indicator. Equitable service two, document and implement policy or procedure for maintaining control of federal funds and monitoring federal programs for non-public schools. Additionally, only provide funds to schools within the Hillsborough Dearing Township. So Again, we have the equitable service for non-public school process, the procedures for determining public services, and then in the past, Winnico has received some of this funding because they're part of our SAU, they're Windsor. But Windsor has its own school district and they don't actually receive grant funds. So we had to make some changes there. We fixed all that for them and we're in good standings there now. And then the third piece of the equitable service is again, creating and documenting information procedures for when a non-public school doesn't agree with our process. And so we have to have some ways to remedy that, which is part of, again, the equitable services for non-public schools and the procedures for determining. So it's really two documents that were used to remedy these three different equitable service indicators. Does anybody have any questions about those three? I have three others, but they're a little bit different.
I only have one question. It's just sort of a cursory type question. Mm-hmm. And I'm affiliated with the Hillsborough Christian Church mm-hmm. and school. Any of those students using the library here at all?
The school library?
Yeah.
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah,
no.
Me either.
Nope.
I was just wondering.
No. Yep. And so every year I meet with them, kind of go over what the options are, and they decide if they want to participate in the funding or not, and they have not at this point.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be doing that ever.
Maybe not. That would be their choice, though.
And it's non-public school. It has to be a recognized school, like a charter school that fits that definition. It can't be homeschooling or
not homeschooling,
that'd be a
right.
separate
correct.
Category.
Right.
Okay.
That's
just
correct.
Kind of figured I'd clarify for.
All right, so then the second area was around our Title IV funds. And there was a few different things that they wanted us to have in regards to those funds. So one of them is a document retained on our consultation meetings. So we have to have a stakeholder group meeting where we talk with different constituents of the school district and determine how those funds are being used. And we've had those meetings, but we haven't necessarily been keeping track of them the way they want us to. And so, again, we fixed it. So we have a procedure and policy for retaining those meeting minutes. And then you'll see in this one, also a template to use for those taking those meeting minutes. Because they don't want us to just have the meetings, they want us to have documentation that we've had the meetings. So the procedures for retaining them, and then the note-taking template, and then the final piece is that we're required to have a needs assessment. And we have to have a needs assessment every 3 years, and we have been using our strategic plan as sort of that needs assessment, and they want it to be a little bit different than that. So I basically created a needs assessment. We did it in the spring, after this finding was made aware to us, and then we will continue to use that same process moving forward. So all of these remedies have been submitted to the New Hampshire Department of Ed. We have not heard back from them yet, but I'm hoping that those are going to be the solution to all of the questions that they had. Again, there were about 45 different indicators, so to have six and really they had a lot of the same remedies to them. It seemed like it was not too bad. And then we also found out on Friday that we're going to be monitored again this year. So get to go through the whole process again. But hopefully with those areas that they found this past year fixed, we will have continued findings and we'll be set to go. Questions about that?
Do those indicators change every, I mean, have they changed fairly recently too, or are they?
There's been a lot of changes in the way that the grants are, the way the federal government is managing grants, and therefore it's coming down to the way New Hampshire is managing the grants, and so that's why some of these findings are happening, because in the past, we've been monitored before, and these have not been findings, but because of the way that they're requirements are changing, we've had to update some of ours.
So as they change, they discover where what we're not doing or doing and pass it to us.
Exactly.
And other districts.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other questions about that part?
What did they do to modify the needs assessment?
They basically wanted it to ask more specific questions around the components of Title IV. So the technology components, the student enrichment components, the healthy student components. So they wanted it to be a little more aligned to that. So
assess the technologies?
That would be one of them. Yep, that goes under the technology. Yep. So now we can do the needs assessment, kind of see where those needs are, and then use our money based on those needs.
Anybody else with questions?
Okay. Let's see here. So then I have another presentation. And this one is... Right, didn't start at the beginning. This one is a brief overview of our data teams. And I've talked to you guys about data teams before, but just to kind of refresh your memory about what they are and how they work. And then hopefully the next school board, I'm going to be presenting some of the New Hampshire state assessment data and have the building principals talk a little bit more about the targeted interventions that they're going to do based on that, which is going to relate directly to these data teams. So this is a overview of all of the different team goals, how the data teams work, and then we'll get into a little bit more of the details next time. So each summer we have had at least one full day, sometimes at the beginning of this work we did two full days in the summer of data team work where the building level teams, so there's one per building, look at data for the end of the school year, determine what are some areas that they feel like they need to focus in on, and then they make a plan to address that information. Data protocols are used, so it's a very specific protocol that's used to allow for consistency across all of our buildings. They have monthly meetings that track that progress, and then three times a year I go and facilitate those meetings again so that we can relook at all of the new updated data and decide if we need to make changes to their goals or keep going the way that they are. So the elementary school, they have two goals. By May 2025, 100% of students will make typical annual growth based on their math iReady data, and 40% of students will make their annual stretch growth based on their math iReady data. And then the sort of brownish-yellow sticky note over there are some of the ways that they're going to work towards that goal. So they're going to use the data to drive their math instruction and interventions. They're going to support staff with implementing current response to instruction strategies and practices, and they're going to have grade-level reflective practices about core math instruction. So really targeting both their core instruction, meaning what's happening with all of their students in their intervention instruction. And then their second goal is by May of 2025, the percentage of time students spend out of classrooms due to behaviors will decrease by 50%, by increasing the implementation of Tier 1 and Tier 2 interventions. So Tier 1 meaning everybody gets that support, Tier 2 meaning the sort of next level of need gets additional support. And so some of the ways that they're going to work on increasing students staying in classrooms and not being removed from classrooms for behaviors is increasing teacher practices and social emotional learning, whole school behavioral, whole school systems such as behavioral referral to and response planning, clarifying the STAT process. STAT is an acronym. It's basically administration and teachers meet weekly to talk about specific needs of students. Their Tier 1 system, meaning for all students, using the responsive classroom methods and strategies, including using a buddy teacher, reviewing the first 6 weeks, and reviewing expectations three times a year. So that's how they're going to address the behavioral side of things and the academic side.
What buddy teacher? Is that a TA?
No, so a buddy teacher is if a student is in a first grade classroom and they're struggling with their behavior for whatever reason, they might go to the next door teacher's classroom, have a time to sort of collect themselves, reflect on what's happening, and then come back into the classroom. So they miss much less instruction time and can get themselves back in. And it also helps so that other kids aren't having to miss their own instruction as well because of the disruption.
And that's interesting. I like that idea.
Yeah.
That's where the paraprofessionals support that quite a bit too, correct?
Yeah.
So in addition to teachers.
Kind of everyone on board for that one, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the elementary school version of a TA, right? Maybe.
All right, I'm going to notes up here. Okay, middle school goals. By May 2025, the percentage of middle school students demonstrating proficiency in the SAS, which is the state assessment, overall in English language arts will increase by 5 percentage points with a cohort comparison. So looking at sixth grade from year, you know, last year to this year, we're looking for at least a 5 percentage point increase. So again, the green note is how they're going to address that. Students who are completing goal setting sheets with their iReady, noting their current performance and steps for improvement, implementing close reading activities every month. Close reading is a strategy used to help with comprehension, where students are taught how to closely read different articles or books and looking for certain information. And then implementing WIN, or the What I Need group, using targeted instruction. So again, they're trying to address it with all their core or their whole group instruction, as well as their intervention, which is that What I Need time of their day. And their second goal, May of 2025, the amount of lost instructional time minutes due to behavioral needs will decrease by 10%. You can see a pattern here, very similar goals. And some of the ways that the middle school is going to work to address that is implementing parameters around the use of their e-hall pass. So they have a electronic hall pass that they use. So if a student needs to use the restroom, the teacher signs them out on their computer. The administrators can see that pass at any time. So if you see a student that's getting out of class frequently, we might want to intervene there and make sure that they're not abusing it. They can set other guidelines around that as well. Implementing guidelines for classroom management behavior versus office referral managed out-of-class behavior. And then utilizing restorative practices to increase student voice. So trying to address some of those behaviors within the classroom with their peers through that restorative practice piece.
The reading activities, that different genres?
Yep. Yes, absolutely. We try to have a 50-50 mix of...
I use the same techniques at the college level.
Yep. Yeah, that's great.
Yep.
Questions about the middle school? Again, very similar, an academic and then a more of a behavioral piece. And then the high school, the 10% of students per grade level with the lowest scores in their IXL snapshot, which is, they take what they call an IXL snapshot. It's a diagnostic assessment that they take 3 times a year so that teachers can see where they are ranking everybody in the school. So the students at the bottom 10% make at least one grade level growth in their targeted area within 90 days after receiving their targeted tier 2 intervention in the areas of ELA or math. So they're going to create these tier 2 school-wide intervention systems for 10% of the students based on their IXL snapshot in September, communicate this to families and students in order to provide understanding of the use of the IXL data, and how it informs our academic interventions, and then provide professional development for teachers to be able to access the tools in IXL to inform their interventions. So basically, every student's going to take it. They actually have already done this already. And then they're going to target the students that are sort of within that bottom 10%. They are not performing at grade level, give them some interventions, either in math or ELA, and then reassess in December to see progress that they make.
And that, so the interventions are usually at the high school will be the prep time?
It will be during their prep time, yeah. Okay. So they will either go to an intervention if that's what they're assigned, or they'll go to another teacher to work on something that they need to work on. And then attendance will improve by reducing the number of unexcused absences as compared to the previous year of 87.5% average daily attendance of students attending the 22-23 school year. So they want to get their average daily attendance up, and they're going to try to do this by increasing monthly and bi-monthly engaging school-wide activities and monthly attendance tracking at end-of-year attendance data. So trying to create some more opportunities for students to make connections and be more involved in school to get them to come to school, and then tracking that attendance very closely so that they can see if those trends are changing or not.
You're not paying them to come, though, right?
No, we don't pay them to come.
Can't do that. Kind of a general question, too. I know that you probably have more information on the results coming to us, so I don't want to put you on the spot, but as an overall, you know, this is a goal that we've had in the strategic plan for the last few years, and certainly it's going to roll forward into the next 5 years. I'll be beginning to see with the early stuff that we're doing, and I guess it's still early.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about that next next meeting. Show that data for the next meeting, and then again, like I said at the beginning, the principals will come and do a little bit more detailed talk about exactly how they're, what that's looking like in their schools.
So it's starting to help a little bit, so we'll stay tuned for next time.
Yes, stay tuned. Okay. Anything else?
Thank you. It's a lot of work with the data, just getting the data together too, and now figuring out how we can use it.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of pieces to it, for sure.
Any of the other board members have any questions?
No, I appreciate the presentation because I'm big into curriculum, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you, Jen.
Yeah. So I think Becky,
Yeah.
Yeah, we have Becky. Thank you, Jenny.
You're welcome.
Yes. Thank you, Becky. And the financial reports are in our packet as well.
Okay, can you hear me?
It's after the leaves of resignations and before the school board association stuff.
So the first financial report that we'd like to talk about is the FY24 year-end report. So this report only shows expenditures which are at this point unaudited. You know, once the audit has happened, there'll be most likely some adjustments. So on the revenue side, we finished close to budget, about $21,000 to the good. On the expense side, largely due to vacant positions, we ended the year with a surplus of just over $1 million. Of that, $270,000 will be transferred to trust as approved in March, which will leave about $774,000 to be returned to municipalities for lower tax rate. And this compares to about the $730,000 that Grant had initially estimated. Just to go over some budget adjustments and some of the expense lines on the report, there was a budget adjustment in June that was approved by the board to move money from maintenance health repairs from maintenance health to repairs and maintenance for the elementary fire alarm repairs. And then moving on to the line items, salaries, we ended with a surplus of $380,000 roughly, which was about what was expected. And also same with benefits, you know, we ended around, you know, $22,000, which was due to mainly vacant positions. Moving down, professional service, we had a surplus of, you know, $42,000, which was mostly in legal and the SRO lines. Moving on to maintenance, which is a 430 line. This line, we would have finished on budget. However, at the end of June, we had some exterior doors at the elementary school that needed to be addressed and fixed immediately. Had this been done earlier in the fiscal year, we would have been able to do, you know, a budget transfer, to, you know, to cover that. Moving down to tuition, student requirements can change at any time, so budgeting for tuition is a challenge. So largely due to student transition, we ended the year with about with a surplus of $230,000. And then moving on to electricity and propane, you know, we ended this year with a combined surplus of $36,000, which was largely due to efficiency projects and, of course, the major mild winter temperatures. So that is where we're at, again, with the FY24 year end. So
Any questions from the board? I do. I have one, but I can. I just for clarification too, just to focus on the clarification on this. The most of that surplus then is unfilled positions on the salaries and benefits line. And if we had been able to fill those positions, which unfortunately we have not been able to, and it's been a struggle for the last few years with different challenges, that's what is creating the surplus. So it's the budget's kind of set for those expenses and expecting the full.
Looks like a majority on it, yeah, due to that.
Okay. So hopefully we'll, as we, if we move that bar, if we do find positions, then hopefully we'll, not, we probably won't expect that surplus each year.
Yeah, each year.
But
yeah.
For this year, that's kind of what it is.
Is that math position still unfilled?
I don't know if that's enough, Jen.
So the math positions that were unfilled in fiscal year 24, one of those positions was eliminated for the FY25 budget. And then the other position, we were able to hire a full-time, fully qualified certified math teacher at the high school, so that position was filled.
Okay.
So when Becky gets in, you'll see that when she starts talking about the FY25 budget, we have other positions that we were unable to fill this year. They are not the same positions that we were unable to fill yet last year, but we will do the same hard look at things as we budget for FY26 based on what we were able to fill and not able to fill. And what the needs of the district are. Yes, we do have unfilled positions currently in this year, FY25, but they are not the same as those that went unfilled last year.
Making half progress, hopefully. Hopefully we'll be able to fill some more and not have to use as much creative problem solving there.
It feels a little like a two-step sometimes, but
yes.
We are definitely looking at all of the places on the board as we move into the next budget and the creative filling. We have full unfilled positions this year, that is true. We also have had some struggle filling some child parental leave, short-term parental leaves this year as well, but those are typically difficult to fill, but in the current job market, much, much more so than even in past years. All right, Becky, I told you I'd try to not interrupt you too much. So I'm going to mute myself again.
Thank you.
You're doing great.
Thank you.
All right, so moving on to the August 2024 financial report. So this report shows expenses only. You know, at this point in the year, we don't know of any concerns on the revenue side, but it'll be several months before we can give any kind of projection on how we'll end the year. But I'll discuss a few things, a couple of budget adjustments and a few highlights in the lines in the report. So far the budget adjustments, two minor ones for the high school. One, we moved $2,330 from supplies to books for some science books. Budget adjustment, we moved $4,500 from supplies to repair maintenance for some instrument repairs. Okay. And as you know, so as far as salary and benefits, we've encumbered the funds for the year, but there's still, you know, some vacant positions as Jen had stated. Some of the other lines, you're not going to see much activity in right now, which is like your tutoring lines and your substitute lines, because obviously we're too early in the year for that. Again, same with the benefits. We go through a computing process when we are entering in payroll, and once it's all, you know, done and set up, we have to go through a process of computing for the year. And so we still need to just compute any new things that were added. So most of them are budgeted or encumbered in there, but you know, we do have a few that we just need to make sure we compute so that they're showing up as an encumbrance. Line, if you look further down on line, or for the account line 242, you will see that there is, you know, a balance in there, and that's mostly due to currently anticipated expenses, but will likely be some adjustments later on. Water and sewer, if you go down to around, for the 411. So water and sewer has been encumbered for the year, but you will see, you know, a negative balance due to the first quarter water bill being larger than anticipated. Mark is currently working with the town to just ensure that the meters are correct and checking for any leaks in the water system. Moving down to your repair and maintenance, you guys can probably all see that, we have a negative balance there, and, you know, that is largely due because, we're still need to process the trust fund reimbursements for both the boiler and the gym roof. We will also be receiving a final insurance payment, for the high school gym floor. So those will hopefully be coming soon. A little further down, and with the rental equipment, this is over due to an energy lease, $2,000 yearly service charge that we get. So it's a little over due to that. And the first invoice for the usage of copy machines is a little higher than anticipated. And then moving down to transportation, 510. Routine transportation is encumbered for the year, but we obviously don't have all co-curricular and field trips encumbered in there yet. So tuition, this is largely, it's too early to know, where we are since requirements can change at any time, via student transportation or student transitions. So this one's a little bit, harder to have to know where we stand with that at the moment.
Yeah, moving target.
Okay, and then as far as electricity and propane, we've encumbered the full budget for all of these lines, and we'll just have to wait to see if these amounts are sufficient, depending on how this winter goes. And then lastly, the transfer to trust, this line includes the $75,000 to be transferred to food service, and the other $270,000 relates to trusts that were approved in March. The transfer usually happens after the audit's been completed, and we ensure that we are in good shape with cash flow. So that's all I have so far. Like I said, it's still pretty new, and we're still, still getting things encumbered and getting things processed and payroll and all that. So does anybody have any questions?
Any questions? Yeah. Thank you for everything that you're doing, and as you settle in and getting used to the way things are working.
I'm getting there.
We appreciate all your efforts.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Ricky.
Thank you.
And so I think that concludes the superintendent's report, unless there's anything else that you want to add in.
That is pretty much what we have for this evening.
Okay. Thank you. And so under board discussion, we have delegate assembly, which we already did. We voted on appointing myself as the delegate to the assembly on October 19th with Krista as the backup. Of course, any of you are welcome to attend if you would like, and if you're interested, let me know, and we can, I can give you the information.
I'm with you in spirit, Chris.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Mike. we do have the continuing resolutions and the proposed resolutions. Unless someone wants to discuss it during board discussion, I'm almost thinking we can maybe just go through that in action items, and then, vote on those as accordingly as we go. Maybe that might be the most efficient way, unless there's another option, unless there's a question that someone has now. And I think that's all we have for board discussion, so we'll move into public comment if there is anyone from the public that wishes to speak. And so it's just an opportunity for someone to speak, 5 minutes per person, and we may or may not respond. And so thank you, Alex. If it just
sorry.
Yeah, I think that one's going to work the best. Just for the record, just state your name. Even though
thank
we know
you.
Who you
Alex
are.
The Trump, Hillsborough, New Hampshire.
Thank you.
I just wanted to add to the statements made by our business manager and Dr. Crawford. We do have the four unfilled vacancies, the current two long-term subpositions, and they are creating a strain on the system, and I'm sure you're aware of that. We have, just so you're aware of the impact on the programming here, we have 18 teachers that are directly impacted by this, that are doing above and beyond their contracted work, and we're very thankful for the MOU that was signed at the last meeting. So that we are able to arrange compensation for that work being done. But just so you're aware, that it does impact 18 teaching staff, as well as indirect impact of another dozen. So it's just where we are, and I think we're a lot better off than some of our neighboring districts, to be sure. Just hearing some of the climate of the vacancies in surrounding districts, I think a lot of that is thanks to the contracts that we've been able to negotiate the last three cycles. We are very competitive, so we aren't losing the same rate as some surrounding districts. But there is strain on the system. There is strain on these professionals. And again, we thank you for the MOU from last week, but it does have those ripple effects because every one of these positions is important for the programming that the students and families of our district count upon. Thank you.
Cool. Thank you. And I'll just echo thank you for everything that all the teachers and staff, faculty and staff are doing to help us help students, which is the name of the game, even though it's challenging times and everyone is stretched thin. So, you know, I wish we had that magic wand sometimes, but hopefully we'll be able to fill positions as we go. I don't think there is any other public comment. Is there anyone else from the public? Going once, twice, three times. Jumping into action items. Actually, the action items are the delegate assembly, both the continuing resolutions, which are in our packet, and then the proposed resolutions. The continuing resolutions, if we want to go through, it's 1 through 12. I think we can do one motion to approve them unless there's an issue with one of them that, you know, someone wants to kind of have me as a delegate speak out against and not support them at the assembly. But the continuing resolutions are essentially what we've supported in the past. And after so many years, they become permanent doctrine for the School Board Association when they're lobbying on our behalf, on all the district's behalf at the State House.
Can I ask one quick question?
Sure. First
one? Where it talks about you can have meetings without having a quorum. Do I understand, you know, that's fine to have meetings without a quorum, but that would mean that there's still no vote, or would there be a vote of the committee?
It is, and again, it's not for board meetings, and it hasn't happened. This is just something that they would advocate, I think, and essentially the thought behind this, if I remember from previous years, is to make it easier so if we don't have to necessarily have everyone there at committee meetings, you know, because it is sometimes difficult to meet and, you know, meeting in person. So, you know, we could still vote and pass business because they'd be amending RSA 91A if that was successful, which would then allow, and if you notice, it's committees, subcommittees, and advisory committees. I don't think they would ever touch the board meetings because those, you know, you want to have a quorum for in order to conduct business of the board, if that helps. And again, it's not, we can't do that yet. That has not, there's not legislation that allows that. That's just something that they would, if it comes up, they would support that to allow greater flexibility with those committees to allow business when
I just remember we used to have like 9 members on a committee, and if 2 or 3 showed up, they'd have a discussion, but I wouldn't think they'd make any kind of vote.
Correct. And right now, the way it is, too, if we don't have a quorum at those meetings, then we can't have that meeting, which has come up several times. You know, it happened when we were, you know, I'm trying to remember. I mean, I think policy committee has had that happen. Usually they will reschedule it and be proactive with that so that they're not all showing up and realizing, okay, you know, we can't conduct any business. But that's why that had come up. It was, I believe 2022 is what it says when that had showed up as the first continuing resolution. And at this point, that has not transferred into law, so we still do need that. But if that opportunity came up in legislation, the school board association would support that for flexibility. Does that help answer your question?
Yeah. I all for having a meeting discussion. I'm just leery on having a vote.
Yeah, and so again, we're not voting that's going to happen. We're just giving them the power to use that for leverage if that were to come up as far as flexibility for those. I know that one of the last changes they made is the superintendent is not a board member, so it's fine for her to be on Zoom. But, you know, for committee meetings, we can actually have, you know, as long as we have a quorum present, we can have other board members on that committee join us by Zoom and other committee members. So I think that that number one is just kind of ticking off of that to just allow more flexibility to get business done so business doesn't get held up and clogged if people can't make it to a physical meeting for some reason. So if that helps. Is that satisfied with number one? And are there any other questions or concerns on the other 11? I mean, if you want, we can always vote on these separately if you want, unless you're feeling comfortable voting on all 12 as a motion. It's up to, you know, it's the board decision. Okay. Any questions on number 2 or 3? 4? And then, like, I'll kind of open it up through 12. Because most of those, with the exception of Stacy and Krista, who's not here, most of us have seen those, so certainly if you have any questions on them that you haven't looked back at the minutes, feel free, you know, there's no harm in asking, as Paul asked on number one. Do we feel comfortable supporting those or not supporting those, or do we want to break them up? How do we feel?
There's one I'm against, so if you want to...
Is it easier...
Vote for each one individually, let me know now.
Okay, we can do that if the board, if that's easier for the board then. We can start with the continuing resolution number one and look for, you know, we can look for a motion, and we need a motion and a second and have a vote. And so number one is that one that Paul just read off, which is amending RSC 90, being in support of amending RSC 91 to allow committees, subcommittees, and advisory committees to hold meetings without having a quorum physically present, while still ensuring that full notice and full transparency requirements are satisfied. So they're still going to, if that were to happen, they're still in support of posting the meetings. It's not like they would be doing anything behind closed doors. They would still have to post it at the manner required by law so that the communities know when these meetings are happening. So is there a motion on the first one?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay. Stacy makes that motion to approve. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. So Stacy makes the motion to approve, and Mike is seconding that. I don't know if there's any further discussion, or are we ready to vote? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And so no opposed, it sounds like all unanimous, and no abstentions. So we are 4-0-0. So on the second one, is there a motion to approve?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, Paul makes that motion to approve.
Yeah,
it's NHSBA supports the state and federal government to seek and provide viable, sustainable, permanent funding to provide a school breakfast and lunch at no cost to students. That was another one that originated back in 2022. Okay, and so Stacy made the motion.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Paul made the motion.
Yeah.
And is there a second?
I'll second.
And Stacy makes the second. Any questions or discussion on that, or we're ready to vote? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? So 4-0-0. Number 3, I can read that. I'll read that real quick. New Hampshire School Board Association supports public school approval standards that encompass holistic and comprehensive academic subject areas, including English, language, arts, and reading, mathematics, science, social studies, including civics, government, economics, geography, history, and Holocaust and genocide education, arts education, to include music and visual arts, world languages, health and wellness education, physical education, engineering and technologies, including technology applications, computer science, and digital literacy, personal financial literacy. And again, that originated back in 2022. Is there a motion to approve our support of that?
Make a motion to approve.
I'll Mike second. Makes it to approve, and Stacy seconds. Any further discussion? Are we ready to vote? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And no opposed, no abstentions, so 4-0-0. And so number four, New Hampshire School Board Association will advocate for legislative action that ensures local schools comply with the federal firearm laws and policies. That was back in 2022, and I know it was intentionally left somewhat broad because some of the federal and the state laws have changed around that in the last few years. So that way they would have the ability to basically support, you know, keeping our schools safe. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll make that motion.
Paul approves.
Yeah, I have a question on that one.
Is there a second that we can have a question?
I'll second.
Okay, so Paul makes the motion and Stacy seconds. Mike, what's your question?
Yeah. How about hunting?
So that came up, I know, in discussion. And every year when this does come up, I think last year might have been the first year it didn't. You know, it depends on how the laws are worded, but it's leaning in the direction that, you know, at one point, if they're on school grounds, you can't have it.
I'm an old guy. When I went to high school, we had a day off of hunting. The whole school was closed to go hunting.
Yeah.
But you didn't have to bring your gun to school then.
Actually, we had an army. We could bring our guns to school.
One of the reasons why this
didn't have school, you wouldn't.
But. One of the reasons why we don't have school on election day is because of some of the laws changes here. Because having people that aren't connected to the school would, you know, it's safer to not have students.
Maybe we
ought to
take our guns on election day. What do you think?
That's another discussion altogether. Is that something that we are ready to kind of vote on? You know,
I'd like you to bring it up.
Bring up the hunting aspect of it
yeah.
in discussion. I can, chances are, I can almost 98% guarantee you it will. And then it usually goes, we have that discussion and it comes back to something like this. But overall, you know, you're basically in support of safe schools.
I think the emphasis is on firearms. A lot of people use bows.
Okay. I can make a note right now, too. And when that discussion comes up, I can share what your viewpoints were. Anything else, Mike?
No, that's right.
Okay. So, are we ready to vote? All those in favor?
Aye.
And any opposed?
I would be the abstain.
Okay, you're going to abstain. So that will be then 3-0-1. So, cool. Thank you. And I made a note of that, and I'll bring that comment up, and I can also share, if you look at the minutes, you'll see some of the discussions that have been, you know, all over the place on it, but it does essentially come back to
kind of truncated,
protecting, basically we want to protect schools, keep students, staff,
absolutely,
you know, and faculty safe. So moving on to number five, New Hampshire School Board Association opposes any legislations that divest local school boards of original jurisdiction relative to complaints about local curriculum, instruction, and instructional resources such as books, library materials, and other instructional resources. Further, New Hampshire School Board Association opposes any legislation that subjects school district staff to civil lawsuits and sanctions relative to curriculum and instruction. And that was one that originated back in 2023. Is there a motion to support that? A motion to approve?
I'll make that motion.
Paul, and is there a second?
I'll second.
Stacy seconds. Any discussion on that or ready to vote? So moving to vote, all those in favor?
Aye.
And so I don't see any opposed, no abstentions, so we will be 4-0-0. Number six. New Hampshire School Board Association affirms the qualifications of school district staff to research and select appropriate digital and printed material for schools. Library and curricular collections should offer students information that provides a balance of cultural values. Further, Literary collections should represent diverse points of view, provide a global perspective, stimulate essential thinking skills, and meet their interests, abilities, learning styles, and information needs of the learning community. And again, that one originated in 2023. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll make that motion to approve.
Stacy approves. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion before a vote? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And so no opposed, it looks like, and no abstentions, so 4-0-0. And number 7, HSBA, New Hampshire School Board Association, supports any legislation that intends to streamline the recruiting, credentialing, and hiring of certified teachers and other licensed school staff from other states. The resolution is in support of both the state of New Hampshire credentialing laws as well as the Interstate Compact and the reciprocity between New Hampshire and neighboring states. The resolution also supports changes to reduce barriers to teachers from other states who wish to transfer retirement savings from their current retirement program into the New Hampshire retirement system. And again, that originated in 2023, so it's only a few years old. Is there a motion to support and approve?
I had a question on that one. Can we hire out of state with an out of state teaching license?
We can, and Jen, I think, will chime in too, but they have to go through the process in New Hampshire, correct?
So they need to have a New Hampshire license in order for us to hire them as a teacher. There is a process where somebody with an out-of-state license can begin the process and get a statement of eligibility and a plan gets formed. But the New Hampshire Department of Education does not automatically we do not have automatic reciprocity with other states or from the state of New Hampshire, There is no current automatic reciprocity between New Hampshire and other states, and sometimes it can be it can be a very cumbersome process for somebody coming in with very solid credentials. It is still very time-consuming and cumbersome.
And DOE can't just give a probationary cert for 6 months or whatever?
That is not how the process works. There is a pathway toward it, but it can be cumbersome. Jenny works and Stacy sometimes as well, depending on the area, works with candidates that we have during that process. But it's not easy, and it's cumbersome. I guess that's the best way I can describe it.
Bring it up is I know a gentleman who's an excellent math teacher from Maine. Okay, and he's thinking about moving down to the area.
Yep, there are a number of states that have reciprocity agreements, which is very helpful as people need to move for whatever reason from one state to another, but New Hampshire has not engaged with that to date.
So this would essentially, as that first sentence says, it streamlined the recruiting and help to make that process. So any legislation that would come up to make that process easier is something that, you know, the School Board Association would explore and be an advocate for.
So your interpretation is to accept this because they're going to change the rules. Is that the idea?
I don't know what will happen or what won't happen, but if something comes up and we can make something easier to hire mm-hmm. out-of-state teachers.
The idea is that the School Board Association would advocate for expanding reciprocity to cover some things in the state of New Hampshire.
Is that?
I guess I'm kind of taking the opposite view. I'm a little leery of hiring some teachers from out of state based on that state's credentials. Having been raised in West Virginia, we had a few teachers that couldn't pass the elementary school, as far as I'm concerned, here. But
As the states that do have reciprocity agreements, they're not universal. Each State Department of Education has an agreement that they reach with other states. I would be very surprised if it was just a universal will accept anybody's, but it's like looking at what does the state of New York or what does the state of Massachusetts or the state of Maine require, and how do those things line up, and if they've met all of those criteria and credentials, we agree that they are equivalent to the criteria and credentials that we accept here in this state. So I don't know of any state that just has a blanket universal reciprocity agreement with all other states. There may be one, but not, I know that most of our near neighbors have specific ones that they look at, because for instance, the state of Massachusetts requires teachers to obtain their master's degree within, I believe it is still the first 5 years, in order to continue to be certified. The state of New Hampshire does not require that. So there are differences, but there are some stringent criteria that people have to pass. One of the things that New Hampshire uses those criteria is the being able to successfully pass the praxis exams, and that's a nationally normed test that is used in many states. So I don't think that the New Hampshire School Board Association is going to be advocating for a blanket reciprocity. It's more like, can we please explore the option so that we're not putting everybody through a second certification process unnecessarily?
Paul, New Hampshire does not have making moonshine skills as part of industrial arts. Okay. So, yeah, it's different from state to state, but Jennifer is absolutely correct. Praxis is the all-encompassing medium, okay, to make it equal between the states. Practice one and practice two. And they still have practice two?
There's several different ones with different subject matters.
And if they were to support this and this were to happen, as the superintendent was saying, there would be, I'm sure, criteria. They'd probably go state by state, and it would be detailed. Right now, this is just an idea, just to see if the School Board Association wants to know what they are able to lobby on our behalf on all the districts for and what they can't. So it's high level, so it's not saying it's going to happen.
I'm just saying, if somebody comes from another state and we, based on their certification there, we hired them, there would still be a year of training or whatever. Or after that year, we could say no.
Could be. I think every process is.
There is state law and our practice. There's a period of time where you're talking about whether we have the right to not renew somebody without specific cause. It's that in other places they would talk about tenure versus not tenure. It's not actually tenure in the state of New Hampshire, but when we hire somebody into the district, there's a 3-year period. It's actually five years of depending on whether they've had other experienced educator experience in another district in the state of New Hampshire. But yes, so the answer to your question is yes. There is a for lack of a better way of describing it, a probationary period that would still exist, and whether they are certified, whether their credentials were transferred through a reciprocity process or they developed them here in the state of New Hampshire, that is not connected to this, and it would not change that, like I said, for lack of a better way of describing it, probationary period.
Okay, so there is a 1 year.
It's actually longer than 1 year, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the process is there as far as a review process. So, does that help for now?
So after a year, you could say goodbye. If you
correct.
Okay.
Then they can go for the school board.
Yeah.
Anything further? Does that help for now with this, with the idea of it? And okay. If there's a legislation that comes up, you can follow that and ask questions at a public hearing as they're vetting out the details on this. I forget who made the motion on this one in the second. Was it you?
I made the motion.
Okay, Stacy, and then Paul.
I'll second it.
Okay. So Mike seconds it. Are we ready to vote, or do we still have further questions? So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And I don't see any opposed or any abstentions, so 4-0-0. And thank you for the questions, Paul, too. That was good to hopefully that helps with your clarification. So moving number 8, NHSBA urges the New Hampshire Legislature and Department of Education to clarify the responsibilities, obligations, and rights of school boards and school districts when students do not attend school on a regular basis, are habitually truant, and otherwise do not conform to the rules and regulations of the district. And that was back in 2023. Are there any questions on that, or is that something that...
I just want to make a comment. I know that law very well. When my stepson was living with us, I called the cops. He was a truant. They actually came to our house and yanked him out.
And I forgot to jump in the process, too. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll make that motion to
approve. Okay. So, Mike, and is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. And did you have anything further discussion-wise, or are you ready to vote on that, Mike?
Vote.
Okay. Anyone else with questions? So, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No opposed, no abstentions. So, again, 4-0-0. And so number 9 of the continuing resolution, NHSBA will support legislation that creates flexibility for town moderators and moderators of cooperative school districts to postpone school district elections in the event of inclement weather, which we've never had, of course. Knock on wood, fingers crossed. That was brought into play in 2023. Is there a motion to approve that, to support that?
I'll make a motion, but that's a stupid amendment. Come on.
Yeah, and again, we're not changing anything. We're just giving them the ability to introduce that if there's legislation that would kind of allow for that flexibility as far as changing it.
Second.
And Paul's the second. And again, it's flexibility so that way if we were to have that severe snowstorm where people aren't going to be able to get around, then, you know, the school board association would be able to support that legislation to help make, you know, changing those events during budget season easier. If we're good, we can move to vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
And so all unanimous, so no opposed, no abstentions, 4-0-0. And number 10, NHSBA supports legislation and rulemaking that requires the state of New Hampshire and New Hampshire Department of Education to participate in the federal Medicaid Direct Certification Program to more accurately calculate eligibility for free and reduced lunch programs. And that was brought up in 2023. Is there a motion to approve and support? That's Paul. Second.
I'll second.
And is there any questions or discussion before vote? And so all those in favor?
Aye.
And so I see no opposed, no abstentions, so 4-0-0. Two more left on the CRs. Number 11, New Hampshire School Board Association supports legislation and rulemaking that helps make Medicaid to schools, MTS, funding more accessible to school districts by allowing greater flexibility in signing off by school counselors and by supporting implied parental consent after due diligence on the school district's part, and a clearly defined and executable opt-out process to increase access to public benefits for students with disabilities. And again, that was back in 2023, so it was last year. Is there a motion to approve and support?
I have an easy question. How do they define implied parental consent?
Okay, is there a motion to approve first and a second, and then we can get to the answer on that?
I move to approve.
Paul,
I'll second.
And Stacy. Phone a friend on that one as far as assistance, as far as the approved consent. I don't know if the superintendent can help us with that, or I don't know if that's something that either Jenny or Stacy. Oh, she's there.
I'm here. Can you repeat your question, please?
So it's your question is about...
How are they defining implied parental consent? What's the metric there? How do they prove that?
And we're on number 11 of the continuing resolution.
Yeah, my parent agrees.
No. So, Chris, can you reread the 11th resolution?
Yep. NHSBA supports legislation and rulemaking that helps make Medicaid to schools MTS funding more accessible to school districts by allowing greater flexibility in signing off by school counselors and by supporting implied parental consent after due diligence on the school district's part and a clearly defined and executable opt-out process to increase access to public benefits for students with disabilities.
All right, so Mike, what they're talking about is having a process that's detailed and clearly outlined and published about how you opt out of participating in a process. And as long as that is clear, and this is about the direct certification for Medicaid to be eligible for free and reduced lunch. It's to help make sure that everybody that needs that safety net is eligible for it. And that families that might qualify through this but don't want to through this process have a way to opt out of it. And it's just a way of trying to increase our enrollment in the federally funded free and reduced lunch programs. And as a reminder to everybody, those numbers also drive a lot of the federal grant funds that we receive, the percentage of federal grant funds that we receive. So this is a way of helping make sure that families don't fall through the cracks and not get those services that need them.
I'm in favor of Medicaid as a safety net. The only problem I had was a matter of semantics, because it implied to me that the school counselor is making the application for the parent. And then later on, if the parent don't like it, then they can opt out. I just don't like the language, the conjunction between the school counselor and implied parental consent. That was my concern.
It's the having a opt-in process an opt-out process that is very, very clearly defined as part of what the requirement of this is, and making sure that people are aware of that before the other avenues are utilized.
So it's one of those things they're going to see before they even have to come up to this. They're going to know that there's an opt-out process.
Increasing the number of students who have access to free and reduced lunch that need it, it's something that I personally believe is important, and it also, like I said, directly impacts the federal funding that we receive through all of the title programs. It starts with Title I, but then our funding through Title II and Title IV and Title V also flow from those numbers as well. So anything that we can do to support the most accurate reading of who is in need of those services is beneficial across the board.
Does that help with clarification, Mike? Okay. And thank you, Jen, for boiling that down simply.
I'm not against it. I just didn't like the language. That's all.
Yeah, and it may not. I mean, this is the over at the high level. So if there was legislation that was doing what this is wanting to accomplish, they'd probably, the language would, I'm sure, be different. You know, probably say the same thing, so it gets spelled out. So this is, again, just...
Oh, you're the guy who's going to have to talk to him about it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, a delegate assembly, and then the school board association does their magic in front of when they're lobbying. Is there any further questions, or are we ready to vote on this one? So all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And so no opposed, it looks like, and no abstentions, so that's 4-0-0. And so the last continuing resolution, and then we get into proposed, NHSBA will support legislation and rulemaking that proposes an increase in purse service fees under Medicaid programs. And again, that was from last year as well. Is there a motion to support that?
Yeah, I'll make that motion.
Mike, and second?
I'll second.
Stacy, is there any questions or discussion on that, or are we ready to vote? So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And so it looks all ayes, no opposed, no abstentions. So 4-0-0. So how are we doing? We've got, I believe, like another 10 or 11 or so of the proposed resolutions. And we're ready to cruise on through, and then I believe after that we're pretty much at the end of the meeting. We're ready to start with the first proposed, number 13. So submitted by Hanover and Dresden school boards. I don't know if I have to read it, if we've all read it. Is there a motion to approve in a second? And then after we have that, is there any discussion, questions on it?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay. And by approve, I'll just clarify at the end, there's a little section of, you know, going in the direction of what the School Board Association Board of Directors recommends. So is that you're by approving, you're supporting what they recommend?
Yes.
Okay. So Stacy makes that motion. Is there a second?
A second.
Okay. And is there any questions on that before we vote? So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
And no opposed, no abstentions, so 4-0-0. So jumping to number 14. This is the one by Wilton Lineborough in regards to School Board Association member dues. Is there a motion to approve the thought of the NHSBA Board of Directors, which is not to not recommend? And is there a motion?
I vote to support the New Hampshire School Board Association.
Okay, and is there a second?
I'll second.
So Paul and then Stacy. Is there any questions or concerns on this? Does everyone understand what we're voting on? So I see yeses, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And so I see no opposed, no abstentions, 4-0-0. And number 15, submitted by Governor Wentworth School Board. Is there a motion to support the recommendation of the School Board Association?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, so Stacy, and is there a second?
I'll second.
Is there any questions or comments on that before we go to the vote? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, and so I think, was that a yes from you, Mike, as well?
That'd be aye.
Aye, okay, so 4-0-0. So looking at number 16, this one's submitted by the Concord School Board. Is there a motion to approve the way what the School Board Association's recommendation is?
I'll make that motion.
So Stacy?
I'll second.
And Paul seconds. Any questions or comments on this one? Moving to vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? So no abstentions, so that would be 4-0-0. And 16, so 17, this one kind of goes off of one of the continuing education ones too, submitted by the Concord School Board, and the resolution is there, it's in regards to gun-free school zones, and they have their rationale and their support of it. They basically cite the continuing resolutions that we discussed. So is there a motion to approve what the School Board Association's thoughts are on it?
I'll make that motion to approve.
Okay, Stacy.
Second.
And second. And again, it's basically in the nature of keeping students, staff, and faculty safe. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So 4-0-0. And number 18, submitted by the Oyster River School Board, and that's in terms of fully funding a constitutionally adequate education for all students. And is there, and School Board Association had their rationale of where they support that and efforts to work towards that. Is there a motion to approve and support?
I'll make that motion to approve.
Stacy, and is there a second?
I'll second.
And any questions, comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So we've got 4-0-0. 19, also by Oyster River. And again, it's this one is the one, I believe. Yeah, this is the one that really had kind of a mute point because it was submitted before the Ed rules passed. And so it kind of changed the context. So, they were looking for no support for revisions to the state ed rule, and they had that document, and it was amended back in March, but then they passed the Ed rules before that, before after this resolution was. So basically the School Board Association was saying it was kind of a moot point. Is there support for that? Is there a motion?
I'm not sure I understand it yet.
Backing up, so the rationale on that, the proposed revision to State Administrative Ed Rule 306 in March of 2024, they're problematic, inadequate, and unclear in multiple areas. Proposed rule changes conflict with multiple areas of standing School Board Association policies, resolutions, and statements, including but not limited to, and then they list a few of them there. Scrolling down to the end where they said the adoption is not recommended by the School Board Association Board of Directors, and the rationale for that was because on Wednesday, August 14th of 24, the State Board adopted the new standards, rendering this proposed resolution moot, and that's pretty much all they said there. But in essence, you know, a lot of those concerns were, you know, there's no need to continue with that. That's why. So it kind of takes this resolution back off the table.
Yeah. I'll support the New Hampshire School Board Association to not support this.
Okay. And, yeah, this was kind of done before the State Board voted on that, so that's why that kind of all happened. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Stacy, and all those in favor of not supporting?
Aye.
And no opposed, no abstentions, so 4-0-0. And everyone understands that now. Number 20, submitted by Oyster River as well, and co-sponsor was Hanover Dresden. And again, this is, I believe this was another one with as far as with school safety. And they proposed alternative resolution and rationale. Is this something that we were in general support of, or do we have questions or comments? Is there a motion to support the School Board Association's stance on it?
I'll make a motion to.
Okay. Stacy. And is there a second?
A second.
Paul makes a second. And do we have any questions or concerns on that one and what they were trying to say there?
Well, this is a redundancy because number 13 is the same as this, isn't it?
Correct. And actually, if you look at this too, the School Board Association Board of Directors response is the same to the proposal to this one as it was for proposal 13. So, yeah, it was basically redundant. It's just, it's there, so it's something that will come up.
I'll amend the motion to be the same as whatever we did in 13.
Which is essentially what their response was. So yes, that's what the Board of Directors of the School Board Association thought as well. So we're ready to vote on that one. All those in favor?
Aye.
No, and no opposed, no abstentions?
Well, I must have been snoozing when 13 came up, so I'm going to have to abstain on this one.
Okay, so 4-0-1. Okay, so
3-0-1.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Absolutely. 3-0-1 correction in that. And so that was number 20. And we're almost there. We've got 21. And then we're almost at the end here. 21 is the one by the hooks of boards on the bottom of that page 13. And next page on 14, it's, you know, the adoption is recommended by the Board of Directors. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll make that motion.
Stacy, is there a second?
A second.
And any questions, comments on this one? Do we agree with the thought process of the School Board Association and the Board of Directors?
Agree.
Basically, it's the impact fees. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And so I don't see any opposed or any abstentions. So 4-0-0. And make sure, let's see, what was the next one after that? We just did, that was 21. So 22. That one was longer than it should have been. yeah, there we go. 22, that's right. It's tucked on the bottom of 14 by Mascoma Valley Regional School Board. And they're recommending that they're recommending to not recommend it.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, Stacy, is there a second? Basically putting it back and, yeah, giving individuals the right to choose on that one. I can make a second on that one. Is there questions or discussion on that? It's the, you know, the school board association will support legislation that requires the state of New Hampshire to fund the cost of the youth risk behavior survey for all middle school students in the state. And by they recommended not adopting it, and the reasoning why was recognizing and appreciating Mascoma Valley Regional School Board's interest in stated desire to address the problem behaviors earlier and build stronger risk prevention strategies by the time these students enter high school. However, the board of directors of NHSBA also believes that local school districts should undertake the middle school youth risk behavior survey on their own volition, lest it be not be another mandate from the state and another task levied upon our school district staff. So any questions on that, or are we ready to vote? So all those in favor?
Aye.
We're voting to not adopt.
Yeah. Right, all those in favor of not of the recommendation of the School Board Association. I should clarify that.
Okay, aye.
Okay, and is that three? So are we all in affirmative on that, or is there any abstentions or anyone against? So 4-0-0. And 23, which is by the Keene School Board. And that one was just in regards to repealing all laws that usurp local control in regard to materials found in public school libraries, urging the New Hampshire legislature to repeal all those laws that usurp local control in regard to materials used to teach the curriculum established by New Hampshire legislature, New Hampshire Department of Education, and local school boards. The recommendation from the board is to not recommend. So is there a motion to not recommend following what the board of directors is suggesting that we do?
I'll make that motion.
Stacy makes the motion, and is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any questions or comments on this one? Basically, they're keeping it the way it is, more or less. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And any opposed? Any?
Nay.
Okay. And so that would be then 3-1-0. So
you're
now.
You're sad when I shoot myself in the foot being on the school board, but I'm doing it.
We each have our opinion and our vote, right? So the last one, also by the Keene School Board. I felt like deja vu there for a minute. And that one had alternative language. It's the resolution, the original resolution is opposing, School Board Association opposing state laws that require mandatory reporting by all teachers and staff to parents and guardians of conversations teachers and staff, including counseling therapy and school psychology, have with a student regarding the student's own status as a member of any protected class. And so their response after the rationale that we read was to support alternative language. And so their alternative language is NHSBA supports legislation which prioritizes the well-being and safety of students, and while recognizing the rights of parents to make decisions about their children, also gives due consideration and weight to educators' professional judgment and their responsibility under the Code of Ethics for New Hampshire educators to always act in the students' best interests. And then we can read the rest of that rationale. Is there a motion to approve what the School Board Association is supporting there?
I'll make that motion.
And is there a second? I can actually make the second. Any questions or comments on this one? No comments or questions. Are we ready to vote? Are we good, Paul?
Yeah, ready to vote.
Okay. Do you understand what they're doing, more or less, there?
We're voting on the alternative language, right?
Correct. We ready to vote on that? Are you comfortable on that, Paul? And Mike, I see you nodding, and Stacy.
Yeah.
Okay. If we're comfortable, we can move to vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
And no opposed? I see no opposed.
I'm gonna abstain.
Okay. Okay. And we can always circle back if you would like and go into detail. That is 3-0-1. Any questions in general? That's all of them, and that's our action items this evening as well. Is there anything else that anyone wants to add before moving on to essentially? I don't think we need a non-public session this evening.
We do not need a non-public session this evening.
All right. Yay. Okay. And I'll just remind everyone the board norms that we talked about in the beginning of the meeting. In your own time this evening or at some point this week, just kind of think about how the meeting went and how you were, how we all conducted ourselves, so that we can be mindful of how we're going to conduct ourselves in the next meeting, which is taking off after what we discussed at our board retreat. And so, unless there's anything else that we want to, I mean, also,
just a reminder that there is an extra Monday in the month of September, so the next meeting is in 3 weeks and not 2 weeks.
So Monday, October 7th at 6 p.m. in this room. And
Correct. We
also have an SAU meeting coming up, which is that?
The 26th.
September.
And that will be at Washington Elementary School.
And correspondence will be coming out on that, so check your emails or the mailbox. And unless there is anything else, we'll look for our favorite motion of the evening.
Adjourn.
Okay, you're making it. So Paul makes the motion to adjourn. Stacy seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And no opposed, no abstentions. Thank you, everyone, for attending, and thank you for everything that you do.
Thank you.